of songs. That's good. Good. You're here. We are going to almost finish the book of Galatians this morning, meaning that Sarah is going to preach through, well, the easy parts and leave me the hard ones. Isn't that how that works? No, actually, we're going to finish next week with Galatians, and we're going to... So what you want to do is actually read the book, so because I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to be merciless. Wait, I don't think Galatians is about being merciless, is it? Okay, I'll try to show some mercy. Check it out. I just want to interact a little bit with you about what you learn from the book of Galatians, about the law and grace and all of that stuff. And so, check it out. That'd be cool. In the meantime, let's read the passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Let's bring the drama team up. We'll start with Scripture, then we'll pray, then we'll bring the drama team up. We'll do it that way. How about it? Are we ready? There it is. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray. Lord, we dedicate this time to you. We just ask that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would move in us and bring about change. Help us in our lives to produce the fruit of that Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us what it means to walk in your Spirit. And Lord, let us live it out among those around us by your help and by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Drama team.
I just have one question. Is somebody going to interpret that for the blind?
That's nice. We don't record it. That one won't get recorded.
Did you actually record this?
So, looking at this passage pretty early in the week and coming up with a kind of boil it all down, what does it mean to us, kind of a statement, and came up with do good. And I was thinking about that, especially as I went to the doctor's office with Savali and I got this nifty sticker because I was there too. It says, keep calm and love others. It's like, oh, that's kind of a universal idea. And made me think about some other things, like I kind of started looking into different religions. I've taken a world religion course, and I know there's some of this aspect in everything, so I was looking at, you know, the Hindus have what they believe in Dharma, so they're going to follow this path to righteousness through a code of conduct. And the Muslims in the Quran talks a lot about those who believe and do good deeds. And the Jews believe that God will reward those who follow his commandments. And the Buddhists, do no evil, cultivate good. So thinking about, okay, but we're Christians, and how is that any different from the other religions of the world, that we want to do good and we want to love other people? And so I added to it a little bit here, just in the context of the cross and Jesus. And so thinking about how are we going to be the good news of freedom and love to others beyond just doing some good things in life. And that's Christ's law, that we are showing grace and love to others. So the first verse caught me by surprise. because I really suck at this, and I have like this strong need to judge people, and it's not necessarily gently or in love. And I remember talking about this. Actually, I think Mark called me out on it one time. You might not remember this, but it was when we had Wednesday night dinners at Dan and Beth's house, and I was talking about a particular person that was in the church. She's not here anymore, so I get to talk about her, but not by name. But she was one of my best friends, but she was engaging in this lifestyle that was really contrary to what I thought she should be doing, what any of us thought she should be doing, really. But, and I was telling her that. I'm like, I can't join you where you're at. I can't be there for you and like talk about this and support you. Like, I can't. And that part of that's my personality, which is unfortunate. But Mark said something like, but of course you did it in love. And I don't think I did. You know, I look back at a couple of relationships like that, best friends, and they're gone now, you know, and I know that that's on me. And I just, I was looking through commentaries about this and looking especially at restoring gently and talking about the word being something like, if there's a bone that's dislocated, like how are you gonna gently put that back into alignment, which to me still sounds painful. Or, you know, mending some nets or kind of arranging them for fishing of the, you know, this particular time period. But just everything talk about bringing things back to a certain order and the idea that the church is supposed to be redemptive kept coming up so often and really kind of convicting me because I feel like I'm a little more vengeful than redemptive when I'm talking to people about what they should do, what the right thing to do is, according to me, you know. And so it's going to come up a lot, actually. And then I looked at James because a lot of things were pointing that direction as a kind of a correlative text. And so I looked at that. And it says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's totally on me. We are not infallible, and we're supposed to be judging gently. Go ahead to the next verse. I'm a little disorganized here because I have my notes in two different places, and so that's really bugging me. But then also, this text is supposed to be linear. Like, that's how things work in my mind, and it's not going in a line. It's like doing these circles. And so, yeah, I blame Paul. So the next verse talks about carrying each other's burdens and the law of Christ. And again, talking about the law of Christ, it's love and it's freedom. I found this really good graphic for the law of Christ. Love God, love others. There it is. Done. Really simplified. And when we do that and we carry each other's burdens, really good illustration here, getting across that finish line together. I loved it. And so in verse 3, I tried to break this down verse by verse, but you'll see that everything kind of like just mixes up and goes in circles. So verse 3, it talks about, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And really, we are spiritually nothing without Christ. Think about some of the self-righteous people that I've come across who are putting out this I'm awesome spiritually kind of vibe. And I have a problem even talking or connecting with people like that because there's no truth in their life. Like, they can't speak truth to me. They can't tell me what's going on in their life because it damages that facade, you know? And it's harmful to relationships. as I was reading this section, I posted a quote online about something that kept haunting me. I was talking about self-deception is the worst kind of blindness. And it's been sticking in my mind, so if that's hitting you too, maybe it's for a reason. But I was thinking along those lines of a particular friend who was telling me a really good reason why she left the church she was in. Her pastor had achieved righteousness. He told his congregation he'd achieved righteousness. He had not sinned for so long. He was in this perfect loop, apparently. And I thought, man, that's a really good reason to leave a church right there. I mean, certainly there's people in this world who don't need help and they can do it themselves, thank you very much. But I don't think the church is exempt from that either. And we can get a superiority complex. So check out the next verse. Oh, yeah, I have to go over this because I always stay in like one translation. And others in the preaching group are helping me like broaden my translations. And this one from the New Living was kind of, I appreciate that there's another translation for this verse because it says, if you think you're too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You are really a nobody. Let's just be blunt about it. There you go. You're nobody. So then looking at the next verse, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. And it kind of leads into the next verse, but comparing ourselves is not what we're supposed to be doing. But that's what I'm doing when I'm not gently restoring someone. And I'm kind of thinking, well, I've really got that part of my life together. Too bad for so-and-so. Who doesn't? There's no way to carry each other's burdens that way. You know, we're just so focused on ourselves. For each one should carry his own load. This one kind of stuck me for a while because verse 2 says, you know, let's carry our burdens together. And then it's like, well, each one carries their own load. Okay, that doesn't make sense to me. In English is pretty good about having a variety of words to explain one thing. So it's kind of unusual to come across a language that has more describers. But I was thinking about this myth that the Inuit have, you know, these tons and tons of names for snow. It's not true, actually. We have the same number of root words in English as they do in that language. But Norway, Sweden, and Finland have a language that they use that has 180 words for snow and ice related words. Oh, and 1,000 for like reindeer. I couldn't believe that. You know, I was just thinking about how Oregonians, we've got like all these names for rain. I was just sprinkling out, it's misting today. It's, you know, all these different words. Well, we don't have a very good range of words for carrying burdens and loads, possibly not really important to our culture, but Greek does. And so verse 2 has a word that I'm not even going to try to like pronounce the words or anything like that. Dan and Steve could do a really good job, but probably Mark too. But verse 2 is talking about this pressure, this overbearing weight, kind of like the root word for barometer that measures the pressure in the atmosphere. And just, it's something that's going to overwhelm you. You can't do it on your own, you know? And so we're there to help each other in our spiritual lives when we're down. That's how we work as a body, how we function. And verse 5 is more connected to like a ship's cargo, something that you're taking from one place to another. It's these things that you're responsible for. And in this case, I mean, you're going to be responsible for before God for your own load. But Jesus talks about his burden is light. That's the same burden that it's talking about here. And it actually comes up again in Matthew. is that verse up there? Yes. They crush you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. It's the same word as in verse 5. And I thought that was kind of interesting to think about, lightening the load there. And it also continues into the, oh, and by the way, they in this is the Pharisees who are coming up with all these legalistic, you know, there's the same theme coming across with legalism versus grace. So it kind of leads into verse 6, which this is where things got choppy for me. I'm like, where is this coming from? Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So I told Dan I'd put a plug in there about, like, we need to pay our pastor and get all those tithes and, you know. But it is. Paul's saying each person should carry his own load. But, you know, there's also, here's a way to lighten the load. Share with people, teachers, the good things in your life. Which, by the way, the maple bacon chips over there were really, like, that was payment for me today, I tell you. Some reciprocity there. So in verse 7 and 8, we get into, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So there's a saying, and the language is a bit salty, so it's not used in proper conversation. But the idea is that the saying is, you can't polish a turd. And I kind of got that idea here because, by the way, you can. Mythbusters disproved that. You actually can polish poop. And it will shine. But, I know. But poop is poop. I mean, no matter how hard you try, you can't change the nature of things. And God knows your motivations. God knows your heart. So I think this could go through all kinds of spectrums because, you know, if you're thinking, well, I'm just going to do X, and I'm going to hope for that deathbed confession where I can just, like, hopefully get that sin taken care of really fast before I die. Or even when you're following all these laws that are going to make you righteous, like, God sees that. He sees what's deep down. And, you know, when it's talking about he can't be mocked, you can't put this facade out for other people, and God's going to buy that too. But we do. We try to polish. So what we're supposed to do, always, is to do good. Let's see. Let's go ahead to verse 9. Let's not become weary in doing good, for the proper time will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Perseverance here. It's hard. It's a good thing we're carrying each other's burdens and holding each other up under the oppressive loads that we're working against in this world. It's kind of bringing us back to verse 2 again, in that big circle of things. And it's messy. It's uncomfortable. You're going to learn things about people that are going to also reflect on yourself. You know, those are the things that we hate the most, the things that we see in ourselves, too. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have grace that's covering all of it. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You're supposed to be treating your family the best, right? So how are we going to... how are we going to show grace and love to the people outside of our church without having it right here, you know? And I think, I don't want to get into, like, thinking we're something when we're nothing, but I think that we have a lot of good examples here in our body of ways that we're expressing this, and we should have more, obviously. But I wanted to put a query up for people to think about. And Quaker queries are things to reflect on and to think about. Maybe for a long time, maybe you're going to write it down and think about it during the week. Or maybe just right now you want to kind of get it off your chest. So I'll give you a little bit of time to just think, and then you can pair up and share with somebody that you trust close by. Or you can make it a bigger discussion, or just sit and think if that's what you are. I'm not going to make introverts get out of their comfort zone. But there are kind of two different aspects to this query. How do I embody Christ's love and freedom in my actions towards somebody? Or how should I embody Christ's love and freedom in my actions towards somebody? And you could add people's names into the blank, a family member, a church member, an acquaintance, an enemy. Or you could even just look at the do and the should. How do those even compare with one particular person? For example, so for myself, if I'm thinking about how I show this to my sister, who I have a really good relationship with in my family, then the do and the should match up pretty well. But if I'm thinking about my brother, who is kind of an estranged relationship in my family, then the do and the should don't match up, and I need to evaluate and reflect on that and think about why, think about what I should be doing. So I'm going to give just a little bit of time to think about this question, try and put a person's name into it, maybe several people, and then Dan will come up.
A lot in that question, isn't there? Well, thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. Very good. It's challenging as always. Let's pray. Lord, we really want to be like you, Jesus. And we want to be like you to those around us, relatives, friends, neighbors, even enemies. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to show your mercy and your grace. Help us not to put on a facade. Help our lives to line up with you and your truth. We thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you give us the power to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.